Asher, Nissen, Yisrael, and Mamzer Nissen, Yavama to Mamzer Nissen, or Mamzer to Nissen of Yisrael. So, Nissen are the Yavama, that's how they're two things. According to the very important Machlekes, the Rambam and Rashi, regarding what is our relationship to the Shiva Umais. Rashi takes it very literally. Trevor says, well, Sechayim Kol Neshama. You have to kill man, woman, child. You're not going to deal with the jihad and genocide issues. But Rashi says, by definition, there is no concept of Kriya Shalai with respect to the Zion Umais. That is how Rashi learns throughout, both in Chumash and in Gemara. The Rambam said not that way. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Kriya Shalai even applies to the seven Umais. And the emphasis says the Rambam has come up with Kama Rayas in from Nach itself. So how do you understand somebody like Uriah HaChiti? Uriah HaChiti? What's Pshat Chiti? Chiti is Ches. Elamai, the Rambam learns, well, actually that's not right. He must have converted that. In other words, that's a different deal. In other words, they're really two different guitars. The Rambam's own Shita is that all a person needs to survive, Zayin Numais, is Kabbalah's Zayin Mitzvahs and Mas and Avdus, which we could broadly define maybe as Jewish sovereignty, Akbi Makir Jewish sovereignty. So according to the Rambam, you could have many, that's called a Ger Taisha. According to the Rambam, you could have many Gerei Taisha from the seven nations. According to Rashi, you can't. But then you could ask another Shaila, even according to Rashi, would it be Tochein a Geris Gemurah? Now, of course, that's the Bilashem Shemayim. Meaning, what would Rashi, right? Like the Rambam, if you could even be a Kabbalah Ger Taisha from the Zayinim, what's called Bechayim, you can become Jewish. That would explain Uriah Chiti and the like. These are people from Ches. According to Rashi, Yesh Lodin was that. Now, according to Rashi, we're not entirely clear. But be this it may, so according to Rashi, the reason why the Nesinim were not killed was taka because of their deception. In other words, yes, it would have been a Chilul Hashem, even though the Maisa, the emphasis, I guess the emphasis, number one, the Shavua to keep them alive is actually not Chal for two distinct reasons. Number one, it's nishbo levatul samitzvah. If you make a shvua to eat chametz on Pesach, the shvua is not chal. If you make a shvua not to kill the Zayin Umais, the shvua is not chal. Second of all, it's a shvua betais, because it was done through Bnei Mestah. So there are two distinct reasons that Yoshua's shvua would not be binding, but mitam chilul Hashem, I'm going like Rashi now, that mitam chilul Hashem, the Gevarim are spared. Okay. Now, according to the Rambam painted himself into a corner. The Rambam himself is mighty. Compared to the Rambam, what is this whole business? I mean, l'chayra, the Gevonim were not chayiv misa anyway, because if they came to Yoshua and they said, we are makabel your sovereignty, we're makabel Zion mitzvahs, even if they would have said they're from the Zionimites, they would have lived.
At least they did.
Huh?
Maybe they didn't do that.
Well, the problem is you can't be chayrish. There's a general rule, you cannot be Kairis Bris with Umas, they're not Makabal Zayim. Were they Makabal Jewish sovereignty? I mean, as much as they were.
Mas.
Huh?
Mas. I'm saying, you can get out of the Ramos of theory. They didn't do, I don't know.
The Sukkim Ramos, but if you look at what they said, that's not true, that you know, we will be subordinate. So the Rambam Taka learns, a very, very unusual thing, the Rambam Taka learns that the Gevayim didn't have to do what they did. They could have gotten away with it anyway. But since they cheated and deceived, they were chayiv misa of their deception, and Yoshua didn't kill them. Mitam chilul Hashem. It's a mud nizah, meaning they didn't have to get killed, but because of their deception, they deserve to die. Mameila chilul Hashem. Okay. But be it as it may,
and they learned like Rashi.
Huh?
The Gevonim learned like Rashi.
They didn't think
that. Gevonim
learned like Rashi. Right. Yeah. But be it as it may, at some point, vice to chayis, the Yevainim or their descendants actually converted to Judaism. Now, it's not clear why and when that happened, because obviously, if we're assuring the Yevainim love of the cow, we're not dying them as Gerei Taisha, who anyway cannot marry us, or they became Gerei Tzedek, or at least Gerim, on some level. But they were Gerim that were Psulei Kahal. They're not allowed to enter Kahal Yisrael.
So they were Gair with wrong intentions.
Well,
and they tricked us.
Yeah, but I think you'd have a problem. I mean, if Do you mean to say that the Gairus itself is puzzled? If the Gairus itself is puzzled, then it would not. Then it wouldn't, they wouldn't be able to be Mekadosh. I mean, here you see clearly from the Mishnah itself that the Sina can be Mekadosh. So there's actually a Machlekes in the 8th parak, Kena Arlo. Why Givainim or Nesinim, they're called? Why are they called Nesinim? Because it says, Vayitnu, they were made, they were placed to be Chotveyetim, B'shayarimayim, right? The Nesinim, those who were placed. So according to one month government that was part of the Knas, the same Knas that made them Chotveyetim, B'shayarimayim, so it's an issue to Rabbanim. The Knas is an issue to Rabbanim. But according to one month government in the Gemara, it's an issur d'oraisa to marry, and it's not just divinum, it's a general rule to marry a member of the Shiva Umais even if they were Megayer. And Rebbe's Medayik, because the Torah says by the Shiva Umais, Lais is chatein bohem. Right? And chasunus implies there can be a marriage, but you're not allowed to do it. Lais is chatein is even when they're Megayer and Kedushin is Taisa. So according to that, there would be a machlekes in the Gemara itself if the iser chasanus for nesinim is a deraisa or a drabana. But either way, it's only a leisasa. At worst, it's a leisasa. Kedushin is going to be taifsin. So l'dabe yivam, I would say what? I would say choleses below misyabemes, like all chayvei lav. Okay, that's why we always juxtapose mamzeres and nesinim. Because they're both psulei kahal, hagam that according to one man the other, mamzeres is daraisa, and the sinu would be drabba. Okay.
Just as an aside, does this also apply? We talked about a mole yesterday. I'm just saying the other categories of people who want to come up to this sort of Jewish people. Do they fit into either of those categories, or do they be their own category?
You know, this is the thing that they say b'shem Rav Chaim. I'm sorry, Chaim Risser, that any nation or movement that wants to destroy Am Yisrael has the halacha, has the status. I don't want to say halacha, but that'll be part of the question. Has the status of Amalek. Now the question is, it's not Boror what Rav Chaim means. Is Rav Chaim, does he mean to suggest a genealogical issue that any time that sinah comes there, it must be from Amalek, and Mimela, they are related to Amalek? Does he mean a spiritual issue? That about it, we're not saying that Nazis are from Amalek, but we're simply saying that the spiritual tumah of Amalek is being manifested in the behavior. And then, the third question is, if it is a spiritual status, does that have halachic ramifications? I mean, does Rav Chaim mean to say there would be a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek? Now, Avada, the actual guy that's trying to destroy me, that's a relative. I don't need to call him a mother. But the question would be, should I be able to murder, Nazi wives and children and the like? So most understand that Rav Chaim meant that it's the spiritual hashpa of Amalek, and it was not meant to be a halachic state. It was not meant to be a halachic state. You kill the persecutor, else you didn't write any for whatever, but you don't decline Mechias Amalek. That's why most of the Paiskim say that Bizman Hazeh, we cannot identify genealogically who was Amalek, and nevertheless the mitzvah is not Nayeh until Limos and Mashiach. Although I have to say, sometimes the rhetoric in Eretz Israel is very superheated. There's a member of the Knesset, maybe you've heard from Dov Lippin, so Dov Lippin grew up in my community, and I know him as a little boy, his parents very well, and I like him, he's a very, very nice person, and he's doing what he thinks is right, but I don't know, Machloksim about that, but he was labeled by some prominent people as the Koach of Amalek, so it's not a proper way of talking about a Jew.
When does somebody like that, the Sunni Israel, become get a din reader? I mean, at what point does Hitler, Machshemai, would it be okay? He has to kill someone already? And even then, does he have to be in the active signing of
the document? First of all, a reader doesn't have to kill anybody.
No, but he has to be intending to. But I mean, let's say someone decides, I know he decided he's going to kill him, but he hasn't got up yet to go and kill him. I mean,
no, you're right. It's a difficult situation. There are two different inyanim of reader, and you have to be marked very carefully. There is the individual guy who wants to kill me, And then there's the concept of head of state or a nation that is involved in the national campaign. So I misspoke a little bit. The heter, for example, of killing soldiers b'shas milchama is not b'din reiter, it's b'din milchama. And that's a separate getter. And I'll tell you the meaning, which is very relevant to Israel today, is that b'din reiter, you can only kill the actual person. For example, collateral damage would not be permitted. In other words, let's say there's a reiter, and the reiter has a hostage. And if I try to shoot the reiter, even if I, you know, the reiter will kill the hostage. The halacha is I am not allowed to do anything that may cause the death of an innocent person. When it's dine milchama, then you try to minimize, but whatever you need for the milchama. So the emes is, and this is the Shaila narrative as well, when you're fighting terrorism, are mechablim a bunch of individual reichvim, or since there's a coordinated movement, and Hamas, after all, is a government. It is a government of the Palestinian territories. So memela, this is a din of milchamas. In other words, that's why the Rambam says, there are three types of milchamas mitzvah. Milchama against the seven umas, the milchama against Amalek, and the milchama lahishia es Yisrael miyad sor. A defensive war. People ask, well, why does the Rambam have to create a new category called Lahoshia es Yisrael miyad sor? That's a din of reiter. People are trying to attack the Jews. I can kill them. The answer is because the milchama goes beyond the individual din of reiter. So it would seem that if you only looked at Hitler as a reiter,
So it might be clear if he himself ever killed anybody.
That's correct. Is Hitler a reiter? The Nazi, you know, the guy in the concentration camp, the guard, the SS guard is a reiter. But if you look at Hitler as indeed, in this case there's no Scheidel, as a head of state who is coordinating a mass destruction of the Jewish people, then it becomes mamish milchama. Milchama, you can kill not only Hitler, you can kill Hitler's friends or Hitler's wives or whatever it would be. So the Dini Mohammed is talking different. How we deal with Mohammed. That's why even Mohammed, even in American law, it is actually enormously significant that they keep on using the phrase war on terror. It's not stopped in the press. There are legal reasons why they want to call it war on terror. Because once you're marked it as a war, for example, if you look at a terrorist as a criminal, you know, you have to give him his Miranda rights, you have to warn him, whatever you say can be used against you, and a lawyer, you know, whatever, you can't, you know. If it's Muhammad, so, you know, you don't have to
do that, either of the one.
Just kill him, you know, kill him on the field, and the like. A criminal, you'd have to arrest him, and, you know, all sorts of, you might have some lawyer to get him off, you know. Yeah, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So that was a moment. So most understand that Rav Chaim was not stating a halacha of machias on Amalek. Rav Chaim was talking about the kayach, the poison of Amalek. Now, having said that, Rav Sadia Gaon, going back quite a long time ago, Rav Sadia more than 1,000 years ago, Rav Sadia Gaon records a Masaira, it was already a Masaira, but the Armenians weren't. And it's very, very fascinating that the Armenians are Amalek. You know, there's an Armenian quarter here. You know, those are the guys who walk around. They're dressed more in black than the Haredim are. They're totally black. But it's interesting, again, I don't want to get into history so much, that the Armenian massacre, the Turks, massacred like 1 million Armenians in the early 20th century, I think. And that was the precedent that emboldened Hitler. And people said to Hitler, you know, what are you doing? You're going to try to massacre, to try to destroy a whole nation. The world is not going to let you do it. So he said, nobody made a big deal about the Armenians. That was his, like, makor, that gave him the idea that he could get away with it under those circumstances. So it's interesting that it was the hashchasa from your side, the hashchasa of Amalek that gave rise to another Amalek doing this case.
But doesn't the Gross say that Amalek is Ashkenaz? The Gross say that something?
The Gross says Amalek is Ashkenaz, yeah. The Gross says it's Ashkenaz, yeah, yeah. But again, as they say, Paiskim are very reluctant to say anything about a Machias Amalek. In fact, it's interesting, you know, the Radvaz, this is on the Rambam, the Radvaz, says that the mitzvah of Machias Amalek will be Mekoyim only the Mosa Mashiach. So there are two explanations that are given. One is we don't know who Amalek is, who is not Shaykh. But Rosh Sternbach gives another chesh. Rosh Sternbach goes back and he says like this. Shaul was given the commandment to kill Amalek. Shaul spared the king. Okay. Why wasn't David Amalek given the commandment to finish the job? Because Adam was not the last, because we are told that Adam impregnated somebody. And we even find Amalekim during the time of David Amalek. Now, like the Rambam, you could learn, they were Gerei Taisha, because the Rambam holds even Amalek can be a Gerei Taisha. Amazing, it was quite amazing. But if you don't learn like the Rambam, why wasn't David given the commandment? Listen to what Rav Sternbach says, a very interesting chiddush l'halacha. He says, the mitzvah of Machias Amalek is to eradicate the whole nation. It is not to kill an individual Amaleki that you encounter. So if you're not going to be able to finish the job, you're not even clear to start it. So he says, whatever David Amalek would not, is not able to root out everybody. Now, he's Medayev. This is an afkamina between the killing of the seven nations and the killing of Amalek. With respect to the seven nations, the Torah specifically says it's an individual thing. Lo sechayeh kol neshama. So every neshama that I meet of these seven nations, I have to kill. So if I meet Shiva Umas in the street, putting aside Ger Taishev and all those brothers, I gotta kill them. Lo sechayeh kol neshama. With Amalek, on the other hand, it doesn't say lo sechayeh kol neshama. It says tibche and say for Amalek. Your job is to eradicate any memory of Amalek. Now, I kill one guy, I kill two guys. Amalek's memory is still here. So he says, Shaul HaMelech, at that point in time, he says historically, the Amalekim were concentrated enough. Indeed, Shaul did kill 99%, that they could all be wiped out. After that point, again, I'm not sure how from one survivor so much spread. It's not Borja, and I don't understand the historical pattern here. But Rav Sternbach said, once it's Naniach, that David was not able to finish and eradicate the entire job, there was not a chiyuv to kill Yechid. There's no chatzi shir in Amalek. The Mela, that would apply today as well. So even if I knew, in other words, let's say you met a guy and you knew 100% he was Amalek. No Svegas. However, I don't know how you know, but you know. Rav Sternbach Kainis, there would still, that's what the Red Rosh means, there would still be no mitzvah to kill him. Because you're killing him is not moche, the memory of
the Ravaz's.
No, the Ravaz just said, he's being modest, but the Ravaz just says the mitzvah is not noyik until the Yemosim Mashiach. But if Sternbach wants to be Mazbear, because only then it'll be Yadenu Takiva to finish the job. Very, very interesting finish
that.
Now, the Mai said, it doesn't seem to be a Iskab Malach of the Gamri, because it's said by Megillas Esther. When the Yidden were able to kill 75,000 of their enemies, again, I don't know how Amalek got so big, many Mefarshim said that this was a kiyum of Mechias Amalek, that these were from Amalek, like Haman himself was. According to Sternbach, unless you killed all of them all over the world, he said there wouldn't be a kiyum on this. So I don't know.
You have to have a nuclear bomb? I mean, you have to kill them all at the same time?
No, not at the same time, but...
You have to have identified all of them and start your
work. It has to be a process, meaning once you know you have all of them, in the mainland, you know you're Makhayim. It's like eating matzah. You have to have a mezayis of matzah. So once you have a mezayis, you can start chewing. Every matzah is part of that. It's a maisa mitzvah and mshechas. But in a case where you as an individual clearly don't have an ability to do all of them, and you're not acting under a coordinated melech, so to speak. See, that would be the where there's a melech, a coordinated effort. So Rav Sternbach says there's no mitzvah.
Again, potential for mass genocide, otherwise you can't stop.
Okay, again, these are issues. These are you know, difficult issues, Doctor, for us to understand. But you know, one way of looking at it is there's a very well-known story an author wrote about. He was describing in great detail about there's like a futuristic story about a little baby that was deathly sick, and the mother is crying, praying for the baby. The doctor finally comes, and the mother loves the child so much, and the baby is cute with blue eyes, but he can't breathe. And such rahmanis. So let's say at that crystal clear moment, you were given an absolute certainty that this child will grow up to be Adolf Hitler, who will kill 6 million Jews. But right now, it's a cute, beautiful little baby. You can't breathe. and your heart goes out to the mother, to the baby. So what is the ethical and moral thing to do at that point? Is it to bash the baby's head in? Or is it to treat the baby? So here's the thing. This is impossible for us to ever do because we have no idea. The Eberster knows. So if the Eberster tells you, go and kill those little Amaleka, cute little blue-eyed babies who are going to color their eyes on.
What's your son's?
This is Roald Dahl. Let's call it a baby. You can use this as a muscle to Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows these Amalekim are going to grow up and be the Hitlers.
But Hashem doesn't do it himself by Yishmael, by Sherushal.
That's not Sherushal, It's Emes. But once again, there is that still, Amalek is a different evil. It's a different magnitude of evil. Okay, apparently it's a different magnitude. Now again, right. The only question I have is, the thing I don't understand though is, I don't understand how the Rambam fits this model. On one hand, the Rambam tells me an adult Amalekite can become a great teacher. So the argument that I killed the baby because the baby will grow up and be a Hitler, how can I say that? Maybe the baby will grow up and be a great teacher. In other words, the Eberster is telling me to kill people who, when they become adults, so if I learn that as an adult there is no redemption, all right, so the Eberster says every Amalekite is going to be a Russia and a Russia. So get rid of him now, like Ben Sora Amora. But if the pshat is, when he becomes an adult, there is a kiyum and a tikkun, even for Amalek. So that undermines the swara for why you kill them as a child. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to say some type of metaphysical idea that if you encounter him, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make you meet this kid as a baby as opposed to an adult? Because the Eberster knows that he's not going to be one of them. Okay, but that's very, very difficult.
Yeah. Maybe you can ask what's the Rambam Shetzel, and then I was, according to the Rambam holds anyway in general that all the halakha are not necessarily for everybody. So even if it's rove of the Amalekite babies are going to come up in this room, even if one is not going to be of that rove, he still would be nichal on the whole thing. And just, notice that even though the halakhas may not be for every, may not be convenient for every single person, but in various circumstances.
Convenience is not the same as.
I'm saying the whole nation is the presumptions that they're going to kill you.
You make presumptions, okay, but again, morally, these are going to have difficulties. But the other thing, though, is I'm like, again, I don't want to get into health. In other words, like this, people say, oh, the Quran has jihad, and we have a mullah. But look at the difference of how our Torah Shabbat Pat takes that mitzvah and how whatever their mitzvah is called. And that is fifth. The Torah Shabbat Pat generally progressively narrows and narrows. Yeah, we have such a thing. But the Torah, we don't know how Amalek is, and Amalek can be a mere Tasha. In other words, you take a concept that is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but the mitzvah of Chazal, which is Nimshel Moshe Misinai, is you narrow it as much as possible. It does not become. We would not say that the defining definition of a from yid is Islavos and killing a mother. This is not our thing. It's there, just like DNA nefeshes in a sense, right? The Torah said you get the death penalty for every type of avera, but a Sanhedrin that does it once every 70 years or 7 years is a kadlan. Mashiach came there. The Quran has a concept of jihad, and at least radical Islam, broader. It becomes the aside, it becomes the foundation, it becomes like the whole thing that crowds everything out. You know, Islam also has things about charity and kindness, but that becomes batal, that becomes tafah. So in a lot of ways, it's not so much, it's just like anything else. It's like Torah Shabbat cannot be understood without Torah Shabbat Peh. Lahabdil Meya Be'elef Abdullahs, the written text of any religion can only be understood the way the religion itself takes that written text and applies it. And Islam has taken, radical Islam has taken jihad, and that overrides and overcrowds everything else. And lehepech, our Messiah is, Amalek is an apina, but that's not the ikr. The ikr of a yid is rahmanim by shanim gein lechasad. So you can't just look at written texts and say, oh, I have this and I have that. What is the living tradition? Yeah, okay. By the way, that's what I wanted to go back. That very, very complicated, long Rashi and test actually is adding another layer of complication. Let me explain what he's giving you 15 phases of. Basically, what do we have this rule? Two brothers marry two sisters, right? Reuben and Shemaim marry the sisters, not their mothers, Rachel and Leah. They die, so the two sisters fall to Yibam. So it's a dover pashut that's not even articulated in the Mishnah. It's a dover pashut that Levi cannot be miyabein Leah, and Levi cannot be miyabein Rachel, because Levi, whoever Levi is miyabein, he would be pogeya miyachos zikuka. Now, why is it asu to be pogeya miyachos zikuka? That's in turn a machlekes amarayim. We pasuk it because yesh zika, and therefore achay zikuka is like achos ishtay. The other mandira says even if you hold ein zika, it's usher to be mavatel mitzvah yivamim. You're not allowed to, if you're miyabim one, you're going to be mafkia the other one as achos isha, right? So this din is the chuli alma, the din that when two sisters fall the yibam, you're not miyabim. That's a mishnah, and that's not even tali on yesh zika. Yesh zika or ein zika is the reason for the isher, but the isher is going to exist to be monashek. Okay, and this is true whether it's two brothers who are surviving or one brother. Yeshika even betray Ach. Okay. Now, our mission says that if one of the sisters is an erva to Ruvain is allowed, I'm sorry, not Ruvain, it's a Levi in our hypothetical, then Levi is allowed to be Miyabain, the other one. Right? So the simple example would be Ruvain and Shimon marry sisters. Levi, Rachel and Leah. Levi marries Rachel's daughter. Reuben and Shimon dies. So Rachel is an erva to Levi of Chamosa. So in such a case, if Rachel is an erva to Levi of Chamosa, so Levi could be Miyabeh Leah. Right, that's what our Mishnah says. Now, what the Gemara goes on and says is the following. What if each sister is an erva to each surviving brother? Now again, I'll give you the same example, just like this. Reuben and Shimon marry Rachel and Levi. Levi and Yehuda. Levi marries Rachel's daughter, and Yehuda marries Leah's daughter. Okay? In other words, right? Reuben and Shimon married Rachel and Leah. Levi and Yehuda married Rachel. Levi married Rachel's daughter. Yehuda married Leah's daughter. So it turns out, when Reuben and Shimon die, Levi cannot be miyabein Rachel because this is his mother-in-law. Yehuda cannot be miyabein Leah because it is his mother-in-law. But Levi can be miyabin Leah, and Yehuda can be miyabin Rachel. And there's no problem in being pogeya biachos zikuka, because since the other one is an erva to me, there's no zika at all. So that's the case if the two sisters are arayas to two brothers, Hoasura laze muteres laze, bihoasura laze muteres laze. And that's where Rashi gives you 15 cases. In other words, Rashi wants to give you 15, show you how 15 cases, we can have a seor where one sister is an erva to Reuben, but not to Shimon, and one sister is an erva to Shimon and not to Reuben. Shimon is miyabein Reuben's erva. But Levi is miyabein Yehuda's erva, and Yehuda is miyabein Levi's erva. So again, for our purposes, if you have one case, that's good enough to understand the issue. The issue, the simple case would be where the two younger brothers married the daughters of the two older sisters, and therefore each sister is chamosa. They happen to marry their nieces, that's fine. It's also their niece, right? It's also their nieces, but what turns out is that their aunt has become their mother-in-law. Okay. Right, let's see the Varna. So it says, Achaisa shi'i vimta o chaletas o misyabemes. Right, so look at the structure of the Mishnah. You see that the Mishnah is worded in a very shrewd way. It starts off saying, if there's an Isser Erva, lo choleses, lo misyabemes. If it's an Isser Mitzvah, the Isser Kedusha, chaylasas belomis yemenes. Now then it says, achaysik shiyivimta, and if there's a sister that fell from another brother, o chaylasas omis yemenes. Now, the pashtus of that line, it's going back on Isher Mitzvah, but that's not going to be true. Let's say, like this, Reuven married a woman that to me is an Isher Mitzvah or an Isher Kedushin. Shimon married this woman's sister. I would vadai not be permitted to be miyabim that sister, because since the Isher Mitzvah is zakuk to me, I am pogeya b'achai sekuka. So how can it say the sister, right, of a Yavama that's a Mr. Mitzvah is Misyabamas Ochalas? That's, that can't be. Eli Machlesha the Isra Mitzvah, Kiva Dimidoraisa Rabia Kame. The Araisa there is Zika. You have to give Chalitza. By Nisra Mitzvah for sure. First of all, Nisra Mitzvah is only a Drabana. But even by Nisra Kedusha, the same thing would be true. Kapaga, Biachai Sekuta. Ella, the answer is that the Mishnah is a little confusing in the sense that put Isra Mitzvah in parentheses. The Mishnah says, an erva lo choletes lo misyabemes, parentheses, Isra Mitzvah of Isra Kedusha choletes, close parentheses. We're now back to Isra erva, that if Leah is an erva to me, I'm allowed to be miyabem Rachel, who is married to the other brother. El achayset the Isra erva, to give you the case, kagayim, shulei sha'achim, this would be one brother, three brothers, Shemayim Mehem Nesuach Deyachias, right? Reuben and Shemayim marry Rachel and Leah, Mesu HaNesuin Esa'achias, and the two brothers die to marry the sisters, V'haisa Achas Mehem Asura Olav Isser Erva, and one of those sisters is to me an Erva, for example, it's my mother-in-law, Asur Ba, I am forbidden to marry her, not only her, but not only Yibam, but I don't do Yibam or Chalitza. Umutr b'achaysa, but I am allowed to be miyabim, the sister that falls from my other brother. And in that case, ratsa chaylets, I have a choice. I could give the sister of my erva Chalitza, ratsa miyabim, I could give Yibam. Vizu Hishi Amru, and this is what the Mishnah means, Achaisa Hishi Yavimta. When the, again, this is not a Tzara, don't confuse us. The Tzara of the Erva, of course, doesn't have Yivam or Chalitza. This is not the Tzara. This is the Yavimta. This is the sister-in-law, the sister who is the sister-in-law of the Yavimta, because it's married to a different brother. So in such a case, O Chalitzes, O Mishyamim. So now we define our terms. What is Isra Mitzvah? Isra Mitzvah is Shniyais Midivrei Sefer. We'll see what they are shortly. The Amai Karla Isra Mitzvah. What do you mean Isra Mitzvah? An Isra, that's a mitzvah. Every Isra is a mitzvah. So Rabbaya, it's because Mitzvah Lishmaya Midivrei Chacham. So this already needs a little bit of arichas. Mitzvah means mitzvah saseh, so that's what we're actually saying. We're saying it's an iser that comes from the mitzvah saseh of the asisa of the cholesher yarucha. Now, the emes is that it's yadua the sheet of the Rambam. The Gemara itself seems to be a big support to the Rambam. We know that Chazal do a lot of things. Very often, Chazal darshan the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midrash, it's already drashed by him, with the Mefarish the Torah. But they also may, what you might call legislation. They're not interpreting the Torah, but they make Tachanai or Gezeiras. A Gezeira is a siyog around the Torah, like, you know, not eating meat and milk together, even if it's not their official. And a Tachana is like Ner Chanukah, Kriyas HaTorah, whatever it may be. So the question is, what is the reason why I have to obey a Gezeira or a Tachana of the Chachanai? So the Rambam says that is a chi of the araisa. The chi of the araisa is the loisase and the taira. Loisasur mikalash yahidu chayam in Israel. And that's also an asay, the asisa, the chalash yarucha. And the Rambam therefore says every drabana becomes a daraisa. And not only that, but every drabana might be more chomer than a stam lav because it has a lav and an asay. If I eat the chazer, might only be a lois asay. If I'm over a drabanan, it's a lav and an asay. And the Rambam's raya is from the nusach of the bracha that on mitzvahs drabanan on Megillah and near Chanukah to make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa b'tzivanu b'hablik near shal Chanukah near shal Shabbos mikra Megillah. What do you mean b'tzivanu? Teichan b'tzivanu. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command me to do this? The Gemara itself says in Shabbos b'ilai sasar. Right, so the Rambam makes every drabanan into a diaraisa. Now,
it's only to a certain degree. I mean, not like a chirim, but in certain levels where you move the masculine, that's not the...
Well, yeah, this is really what the Rambam asked. Now, the emphasis is the Rambam actually writes, you know, the Rambam has the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's interesting. Why did the Rambam write the Sefer HaMitzvahs? In fact, another thing is, if you ever look at the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you know, the order of the Sefer HaMitzvahs is a bit of a mystery. Unlike the Sefer HaChinuch, who follows the order of the Torah, it's not clear what order the Rambam follows. He doesn't seem to follow any order at all. And the Brisker Rav himself said that the order of the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs is a bit of a sod. But the Pashtus is, that you can actually find this, is that he follows the order of the Mishnah Torah. Of course, that only answers one Kashrut with another. Why does the Brisker Rav follow? But essentially, the Sefer HaMitzvahs was the Rambam's outline for the Mishnah Torah. Before the Rambam would go over all of the halachas, he wanted to have an outline of the basic deoraisas that apply. And you'll find, you know, it doesn't always work because maybe the Rambam changed his mind in the order of the Mishnah Torah after, but if you see, like 85%, it follows the Seder HaDvarim of the Mishnah Torah itself. And there's some indications in the Rambam's Hakdama that the Sefer HaMitzvahs was a Chibur Katan that was written as a Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah so that people would know the Shurashim. Now, that's one thing. But the Rambam then wrote a Hakdama to the Sefer HaMitzvahs itself because the Rambam had the following problem. On one hand, we have this Chazal that says there are 613 mitzvahs. Right? We have a Chazal. And it even breaks it down. Ramach Aseh Shasal Leisasas. But Chazal nowhere give us a listing of what are the Tariyat mitzvahs. Therefore, they got already from the Gaonim time, they try to make different listings. And the problem is, the Rambam says, if you simply look at every commandment, every time Hashem said, do something, you get many more, just go from Bereishis to Zeis HaBracha. How many times did Hashem say, do this, do this, do this? You get something like 5,000 steps. Every Karma, you get, you know, 30 steps. And you shall shepherd it, and you shall collect, right? Do I count, you know, everything, right? So the Rambam wanted to, as it were, develop criteria of what's a mitzvah, what's part of a mitzvah, what's part of a process. In other words, the Rambam wanted to develop klolim and yesodos. So he wrote 14 shurashim to explain what counts as a mitzvah, what doesn't, and then he did his minyan based on the shurashim. So the shurashim is the most lumbish part, and indeed one of many, many of them. If you look in Sefer HaMitzvahs, you'll see the bulk of the mefarshim around the Yudalit Shurashim. And in particular, the Ramban wrote Hasagos on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And again, so Rambam said that the way you become a Lamdan, he actually said it on himself, the way he became a Lamdan was by analyzing the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs to understand exactly what every mitzvah means. What does this pasuk mean? What is it, Doraisa, etc. To understand exactly the site of connecting every mitzvah to its shevish and the like. So be it as it may, the one who preceded the Rambam in Minyan HaMitzvahs, the main one, was the Bahag, Baal Hilchos Gedolos. And essentially, the Rambam's 14 shurashim are a critique of the Bahag, and the Ramban defending the Bahag, right? The Ramban is against the Rambam, right? The Ramban, the Teva, was always a defender, right? The Baal HaMor attacks the Rif, the Ramban writes the Milchamas. The Rambam attacks the Bahag, the Ramban writes his Hasagas on Sefer HaMitzvahs. But be it as it may, in the first Shurashim, the Rambam attacks the Bahag because the Bahag counts in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And the Rambam says, my first qual is very simple. You cannot count Rabbanans as part of the Tayag mitzvahs. And this, by the way, the Rambam says he doesn't even have a good teretz about the Bahag is stuck in Tzarechim. But here's what the Rambam says. In spite of the fact that the Rambam says we don't count the Rabbanans as the Arisas, that just means we don't count the specific Rabbanans as the Arisas. Otherwise, you'd have 1,000. But every Takaras Chachamim were Mechuyav the Arisa of Salam Ben Sasser. So Hagam that he's Chaylev and the Bahad, who counts the Rabbanans B'Pratiyais, the Rambam is mighty that the Chlali has to count them. Now, on this, there is a huge hasaga of the Ramban, not defending the Bahag. The Bahag, he does not have a defense for it, but in criticizing the Rambam's position, that every D'Oraisa becomes a Rabban, every Rabbanan becomes a D'Oraisa. And he tells us like this. You see throughout Shas that we treat the Rabbanans differently than D'Oraisas. For example, Safek D'Oraisa, we have to know the Chumrah. Safek D'Oraisa. I don't know if I recited Birchas HaMatzon or I said Kriya Shema in a case where I was Mechuyav D'Oraisa. Misafek, I do it again. Safek D'Rabbanan, if I don't remember if I daven Shmoneh Esrei, Misafek. Amega. Now if you're going to say, every time it's a Safek on a D'Rabbanan, I might be violating my Sosor, then every Safek D'Rabbanan, Frek D'Rabban, is a Safek D'Oraisa of the love of Lysosa. So how can you say a D'Rabbanan becomes a D'Oraisa? So here, the Kesef Mishnah says, L'chayra, very mistaken teretz. The Kesef Mishnah says, wait a second here. Lysosa is a prohibition to violate the directives of the Chachamim. Now, who created the rule that if you have a Safek D'Rabbanan, you can be made? That was a rule of Chazal. So if the Chachamim were Misakne Takana, say, you can be made of, it's not the Pshat, oh, I might be over on the love of Lysasar. You're right, I'm not over on the love of Lysasar. Because even if Lamaisi didn't do it, if they told you you don't have to be machir, you're not right. So it's not a safek leisaser, it's a vaday not a leisaser. The only question that the Kesef Mishnah said you might ask is, okay, but why did the Rabbanan have that limit? In other words, l'chayra, if the Rabbanan is as chayra as a deraisa, they shouldn't have said safek. Why did they give you a rule you could be megal be safek? So the Emes is, there's a Rashba in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and the Rashba asks another kasha, but it's all connected. And he says like this, he says, how do we understand Takanes and Gezeres? The Torah says, Loisaisim, there's Nisra Bal Taisim. Bal Taisim says, don't add to the Torah. Takana is adding, Gezeres is adding. Right, you're adding. So, I mean, this is a very obvious question. Indeed, many beginning Talmidim will ask this question. Again, just because a beginner asks the question doesn't mean it's not a good question. Taki is a good question. The Rishonim asks the question. How can a Takana shtim with the Yisr of Baal Taisif? So, there are a lot of different teretzim that are given. One teretz that's given is that the Yisr of Baal Taisif is only when you label it to have the same status as a Doraisa. But when you clearly make it subordinate and taka as a siyag or even a takana, so the Rashba says, this is why there had to be a rule, Safek D'Rabbanan L'kula. Because the only way you prevent the problem of Baal Taisif is by demarcating Rabbanans from the arises. Without the demarcation, it would be unfair. So that's an important matter. Because L'maisa, you're going to have problems. Because sometimes we find the Chachamim were more machmir on the drug. The other thing is some people give a Torah that also goes in circles. Since the Torah in Lysasar authorizes the Chachamim to make Takanas, you can't say they're adding to the Torah because the Torah itself says they're allowed to do it. In other words, if Leisasur authorizes them to make takana. Now the Ramban then asks another kasha, and this is a kasha legabe a principle in mechuyav b'tavar. What is this? Is a very important insight that to be mighty somebody in any mitzvah, you have to be mechuyav. That's why a katan, right? Kiddush, shayfer, megillah, even the Ramban. Kol she'eino mechuyav b'tavar, eino mighty achevim yidei chavasa. I can't be mighty you unless I'm mechuyav. So the shayla is like this. The Gemara in the third paragraph of Brachas has a shayla, are women, but the Mishnah says women are mechuyavas in benching. Okay? But the Gemara has a shayla, are women mechuyavas de'araisa? Or are women mechuyavas only drabana? What is the study of this? Doraisa, if I say that it's doraisa, it's simply because benching is not mitzvah sasei, just one grama, whenever you eat. So women are chayavas. Or maybe there's another tzad that since Birkas HaMazon is mekusher to bris, al brischa, and Eretz Yisrael, and Talmud Torah, which Joshua takes us which of these nekudas, so since women don't have that, they're paturas from the mitzvah. But they're chayav drabanan. So then the Gemara asks, l'mai nafkamina? Who cares if women are deraisa drabanan? They got a bench. The Gemara, Bahaitzi Anashim Yidei Chayvasan. Can a woman who ate be mighty a man who's unable to bench? Let's say he's unable to bench. Either he can't read or he can't talk. If I say she's Mukhuyabas de Raisa, then she can be mighty. But if I say de Raisa, she's Matura, but she's only Chayevas Vidravanan, so Lagabi the Doraisa, she's not Mechuyav. She couldn't be Maisa. As they state in the Gemara, we paskin, even the Amos, that it's a subject, a woman should not be Maisa. I mean, although it's a little tricky. If a woman, because like this, for a man to be the Doraisa, he has to eat Kadei Suvia, not just the Kazayas. So if the man only ate a Kazayas, a woman might be able to be Maisa, because she's a, right? Okay. But then you get a question. Is that only if she ate Kadei Sviya, or if she, because like this, if a woman ate a Kazayas, she is called a trader Rabban, and you need two separate takanas to be Mechayev, or one Kazayas, one woman. The man is this Chayev with only one takana, so that's a big Mechayev Rishonim. Do I call a trader Rabban, or Gabi Echad Rabban, and not Mechayev? But if she ate Kadei Sviya, so she's only a Chad Rabban, she can be mighty a man who only ate kizayas, because that's a chadra bana, be mighty a chadra. By the way, you have a parallel shayla, another very interesting machlokes Rashi and Ramban. What about a katan? Because a katan she yigia l'chinuch. So Rashi shita is, a katan she yigia l'chinuch is mechuyev midrabanan to do mitzvah. So a katan she yigia l'chinuch who ate Kadei Sviya could bench for his father who ate Kazayas. Ramban is chaylik, because the Ramban says, a katan is never mechayiv in mitzvahs. A katan sheyigia l'chinach is a chiyav on the father to be mechanech. It's not a chiyav on the katan. So even on the drabanan, you can't call the katan mechayiv drabanan. It's a mechayiv Rashi and Ramban. What is chinach? Okay. But being as it may, the Ramban here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs asks about the Mekasha. The one thing that emerges from the Sugya Brachos is, if I am chayiv in a mitzvah drabanan, I cannot be mitzvah the chiyav of the arise. That's what the Gemara says. Frek the Ramban, according to the Ramban, why not? If I am mechuyev to bench midrabanan, the Torah says loy sasar. I am mechuyev to do this because of loy sasar. So why can't I? Rabban says, why could the woman be mitzi the man since her chiyev is the araisa? So here too, the mefarshim say that there's a chiluk, because even though the woman might be mechuyev because of loy sasar to bench, the Torah did not tell her to bench. In other words, the Torah's interest is not in her benching. The Torah's interest is in her listening to the Chachamim. But the gabe the etzem pu'uma of birkas hamazon, the Torah was not mechayiver. And therefore we could still say, the gabe birkas hamazon per se, she's not a mechayiver. Right?
In other words, that's what my brachos, for Moses or something.
Huh? Right?
No, what I'm saying, for every bracha, any bracha at all?
What about any bracha? No,
only
brachas hamazon. That's the raisa. Other brachas. They're both rabbanim. So the woman can be. Yeah, in fact, this is what they do in the liberated homes. Not probably not in Yerushalayim. Who knows? They have the man makes kiddush, and woman makes
hamazon.
That's the liberated home. Okay, but the emphasis, the woman can make kiddush too, because according to the Rambam. Well, first of all, yes, men and women are both chayiv deraisa, so they're both deraisa. So for a woman to make kiddush for men is actually not a problem, except maybe Yudas has an issue. So the evidence is, kiddush gufa, is it deraisa and a deraisa, or the drabbanan and a drabbanan? I mean, the problem basically is, if they were yotzei in Shimon Esrei or Lichbenshin, so when they come to the table, they're both drabbanan.
It might be better if she makes kiddush. If he davened and she didn't daven.
Yes, this is the, I don't want to get into the mistake as far afield, but this is the very, very famous Ha'ara of the Nedev Yehuda. The Nedev Yehuda passes by Lachol Lamaisa that if a man davened Ma'ariv and he already was Yotzei Kiddush Min HaTorah and he's only a Chi of Drabbanan and his wife did not daven Ma'ariv, so she's Mechuyevus the Oraisa. The Nedev Yehuda paskins, the man should not make kiddush for his wife because he would be a drabbanan and he could not be ma'aseh deraisa. Now, Rabbi Kiveger is chaylet l'gamri, the Mishra is chaylet, and there are so many different reasons. One reason is that the man is still deraisa because essentially if you know you're going to make kiddush, you're not mechaber to be yetzei in tefillah. And so the man comes home, he's still deraisa because he didn't have kavanah to be yaisei in Shimon Esrei or by Chulu.
So why did I say it? Huh? What did I say? When it's just for tefillah?
No, it's nusach of tefillah. You weren't mechavah to be yaisei kiddush.
Even though I may have done it three times in Shul.
That's correct. Or Rabbi Kiveger suggests the opposite idea. The opposite idea. He says, the same way the man is yaisei with by Chulu, the woman could be yaisei with lichbenching. And even saying good Shabbos. So if they talk to each other and they wish good Shabbos, well, that already makes her a drabbanan at that point. See? Now, the Mishnah Berurah has another Ha'ara, that the emes is, by Chulu and the whole Amidah of Friday night, one could not be Yetzei Kiddush, because he brings the Gemara Pesachim that Kiddush requires Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, because we have a Gezei Rishava. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kan Shayim, and Zohar is a Yom HaZeh, and that's why we say in Kiddush, Zohar is a Yom HaZeh. The Mishmura says, in Friday night davening, you're not Kailel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, he does say, when it's Friday night, that's a Yom Tov, what do you say there? Right? Maybe then he might be right then, but he wouldn't be right on a regular Friday night. Yeah.
So I can't imagine women don't make kiddush. It's cool that they don't make kiddush for the men. What's the way to do it? Does this sound?
Yes, kind of. Well, first of all, again, like anything else, if there are other people there, it's not necessarily an issue of kolisha if she's not singing.
So why in the liberated home is that the minute you do the motzi, not kiddush? Well, maybe the other way. I'm saying.
I'm just wondering here, in chutzlats, in many shuls or some shuls, at least they make a real kiddush afterwards.
That's correct.
So for sure the chazan, I mean, he goes home now.
Yeah, so that's the question. The question is, it depends if the chazan drinks or doesn't drink. I mean, you need to say there are two men hugging.
You get a chazan to drink.
If you get a chazan to drink, then the chazan is not mechavan to drink. If he drinks, then he has to be mechavan. Because he'd have to drink a shiravias to make it a mamash.
No, then
you're correct.
It's true of right?
The shiravias is live.
It's not true of Yisrael, but it's a revias plus a mulal.
That's
one. It's one and a half in a mashu. Yeah, you're correct. But the other, even one revias killed. That's right. So there for sure, the Gabi Nechazen, for sure, you at least you get into the Nedev Yehuda's question. I mean, the Maisa would have a question like that. But the shayman, the people who intend to make kiddush at home, it's ki'ilu, their kavanah is not to be active with that at all.
Because they know they're going to make kiddush for their wives.
That's correct. That's
but if there is you mechavan to yotz, you hear kiddush during the evening, wouldn't this ordinarily work out? Because if you don't have
you're correct. That's when you'd have his problem. But even then, we don't paskin like him for kavanah timing. Number one, the davening. I mean, kiddush davening. You mean the whole kiddush davening, or you mean the shmon esrei? What do you mean?
No.
After the verse says the kiddush and davening, or the yichumah with davening, you're not yaitzim because it doesn't have sample of yaitzim shrine.
After
the meal. Then you never have a beggar for them. When she says mishata, she's yaitzim too. So therefore, you're eating.
She doesn't say this far is good.
I want to point out because I don't want to. This is a big fascinating thing. I want to point out. Rebbe Kivyeger has an ultimate svara, which says the whole thing is not. That is, Rebbe Kivyeger says the following: when we say only a mechuyev de'araisa can be mitzi and mechuyev de'araisa, we don't mean you actually have to have the chiyuv now. Because consider this: can I make kiddush for a guest who shows up later? In other words, it just means I'm a bar chiyuv. So the Gemara is talking about if a woman is bechlal not a baski of invention d'oraisa, she can't be yaitse. But you can't compare a man who was yaitse, and it's only a chiyuv drabanan, with a person whose whole chiyuv is drabanan. So Rebbe Kivyeger basically disagrees with all he's saying. Rebbe Kivyeger says it's a double pasha, that if a person is a bar chiyuv d'oraisa, he could be yaitse somebody even if he was already yaitse. That's the said, I can make kiddush so many times and the like. So Rebbe Kivyeger says, we don't really care if the man has become a drabanan and his wife is d'oraisa. The man is a bar chiyuvah min ha-Torah on the mitzvah of kiddush. So you don't have to fool around with the good Shabbos and all those other things.
That would be one of the bucky. That would be one of the bucky. She knows.
If he's not?
Yeah, you mean this is for as Araris.
Because of Araris, that's exactly right.
I worked with Bucky also.
Yes, even with Bucky. Yeah. In fact, the Gerash Shita is that because of Raivam Hadras Melech, it is better. Right? That's the question. The question is, if we have a lot of people, about families, is it better for one person to make kiddush for everybody? Or is it better for every person to make their own kiddush l'chatchila? So one story is mitzvah ba'o yoser v'mishlukah, the Mar Kedushah. I should do it myself. Why should I be yaitzei? But the Gra says, the union of Raivam, that when one person is doing it for a group, so you're hearing it as a group, that's a greater covet for the shechita.
The Quran expects like that, right? The
Gra says one person should make for everybody. That's the, again, different minhag, the minhag is their carrots. If someone is a Baal Bayis with his own family, his own wife, so we say, would you like to make your own kiddush? But your answer should be no. I want to be yotzei with you.
Chassidim, everyone, they are very intelligent people, maybe.
Yeah. The problem there is sometimes they have a minhag by the Seder that everybody does it in unison. That's not necessarily so good, especially if they're women who are going to be yotzei. You have shalom trei koli lo mishtami.
I've seen it lots of times.
One is faster, two.
There's two challahs.
That's a very big catch. The first guy makes a bracha, and then the challah is passed down for someone else to make a bracha.
Yeah, that's what they do. They pass it all around.
Is that
mutter bechlal? Because two people can make a bracha on one challah. One set of challahs.
It's Mavasakas or it's Mavasakas?
He makes a bracha, passes it to you, you now make a bracha, pass it to the next.
I see it as a big problem of Hefsik.
Yeah, I'm saying,
but in terms of two people making bracha the same way, that is because we do that ourselves. For example, I may make a bracha and nachem mishnah, then I cash you one challah. That's done all the time. So the fact that it was used already, for my bracha, doesn't possibly be being used for your bracha. Mm-hmm. But the hefsek to make brachas in sequence, I think, is a very good problem. Bavasachas, if you're not being mighty anybody, besides the women, that's all right. Bavasachas, we all touch it, but Bavasachas, I think, would be a good thing. But I mean, the Gishol Tevri, the Rama says, by clapping for Haman, he says some people would be Zazel the Minna because they had too much noise, and it's a Hapsik in Megillah. He says, Ein Lazalzel B'Shom Minna Gisrael. He says, all Nagim have Makairis, one has to have covered for Minna. Even the Beis Yosef, gives his famous klal that the Beis Yosef is Machriya Halacha based on two out of three, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. Although that stacks the deck because the Rush is always going to be the third person out. And that's why the Rambam wrote what he wrote. But the Beis Yosef says, the Beis Yosef writes, the Chas B'Sholayim, none of my Hachraos are intended to be Einker Minhagim. Although Rav Ovadia says, that only applies to the Minhagim that we're doing before the Beis Yosef. Any Minhagim after the Beis Yosef, then the Beis Yosef, then Mavata. He says, from Mavata Lagami, but the Beis Yosef said, any existing Minhagim are not to be superseded.
I've seen this situation before, same thing with the challah business. I didn't know what to do. The first time I saw this thing, I was like, okay, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, okay, should I make a bracha? Now I make a bracha. I made the bracha because that's what it seemed that was going on. They just passed me a challah and said, make a bracha.
Well, that's fine. Just be sure you're the last guy. That's
all. You're not the last guy, so you can't eat. That's the problem. You can't eat.
Especially if they might have 100
people, like it.
No,
10 people,
20,
50 people, whatever. Small, no, not like a whole. So the family's house,
couple
kids, couple guests, 10 people, 15 people.
I think it would actually be better to
just skip it.
Just not matter.
Tell him to
you.
He's not
Miyazi.
That's another problem.
He's not.
If
you tell him,
I don't
want to
do
you. Maybe
that would
be the mic. When you get the bread, you can make a mic.
You don't have to be there. You don't speak. You're just wearing the sound.
Yeah, we're very machmir between, in other words, there's a big nafkamina, for example, between the Tila Shadayim and Hamaitzi, and Hamaitzi and bread. That's a more chumradical level of passing. Now, some say, the Nitziv says an interesting thing, which might actually work to Lechem Mishnah. The Nitziv says, Lechem Mishnah and Shalim are two different things. Which means, the Nitziv says, wow, an amazing thing. Let's say I only have one roll. Right? So the Nitziv says, I should break it in two and make Hamaitzi. I have Lechem Mishnah. I don't have shalem, but lechem mishnah and shalem are not the same thing. Shalem is a general heater in bracha, but lechem mishnah is a chiyuv. So the chiyuv of lechem mishnah will be daicha, the heater of making a bracha on a shalem. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's an absolute solution for all lechem mishnah problems, basically. He says, like, even bread slices, two bread slices. He says, would rather be nothing.
You should be
sorry, Muhammad, if that's all you have. I mean, chatchila, you don't do that. But if lemaisa, you should break it in half. Yeah, because at that point, you at least have a chance if you're makayim the takanas chachamim of the chamish. Without that, you're better not makayim the takanas.
Sorry, Carver is just asking, choice between paspalte or doing this?
Paspalte. During a Sarah Shimachuba, I don't know. But because paspalte is really, the hachra is that it is mutter. I think the Nisiv's Kiddush is more of a problem. The hedra paspalte is more borrower than the Nisiv's hedra, so that would be like a mission there. Okay. So that's the Ramban's kasha, right? Okay. So the Ramban had two kashas on the Ramban. One was Sofek Deraisa the Chumra, and the other was Rabban and Bimotzi Deraisa. Now, the Ramban himself, though, because of all this, the Ramban is also Zer Shred. The Ramban himself concludes that Loisosor is not a Machayev for Takanis and Gezeris. that Lysosser is referring to the Yud Gimel Midas, and Lysosser is referring to when they explain the Torah, but it is not a chiyuv for Takanos and Gezeiros. So the obvious question is, according to Ramban, so why do I have to listen? The Ramban doesn't explain, why do I have to listen? If the Torah doesn't tell me to listen, then who's telling me to listen? Me drop on and I have to listen? That doesn't make sense. So right, so you don't have to listen. But Midrabanan, you have to listen to the Rabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan told me so? Who says I have to listen? Unless you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu telling you so. So Rabbi Chanan says, this is a pretty amazing thing. Rabbi Chanan says that this is a svara. This is a svara that a Kaddish Baruch Hu understands that he gave us the Nitzchias, the eternal eternity of the Torah that never changes. But there are going to be times in which Am Yisrael needs certain injections of spirituality by celebrating Nisan and Niflais, like Hanukkah. Or we need Harchakas because we become, you know, less meticulous and less conscientious. We need fences. It's a swara that a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't leave Am Yisrael Hefker without leadership, without guidance, without Hadracha. Therefore, he says, the Ramban says, we don't need a pasuk to give the Chachamim the Kayach at Takanos and Gezeiros. It is a svara that a Kaddish Baruch Hu entrusts the leadership of Am Yisrael to the Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Torah, and they can do what is necessary to ensure the Kiyum of Am Yisrael. That's a great, great chiddush. He says the hallmark of Drabbanan is it's a svara that you could do it. Hashem would not leave us without leadership. Otherwise, we would be, well, we wouldn't be Karaites, because we still have the Torah about the Halacha Moshe Nisin and everything else. But it would be Ka'en Karaites, because we would be frozen in place, unable to move, unable to respond, unable to deal with the new problems that exist. Chazal have to have such a Kayach, Takaner, Gzeira, and the like. Now, there's another interesting Ha'ara, just to give you one more Ha'ara. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wrote at the end of Chelik Beis of Kaivet Shiurim. Now, Rabbi Chanan Shiurim tend to be very short. He doesn't write long things. They're Ha'aras. On Yuvamis, by the way, he has all safer on Yuvamis, Kaivet Ha'aras. So Kaivet Ha'aras is on Yuvamis, Kaivet Shiurim is on the Bavis and Ksuvis. But in Chelik Beis of Kaivet Shiurim, there's something called Kuntris Divrei Sefer. Where he's Masber the Inyanim of Drabbanan. He goes through the Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Ramban, what does he say? But there's a famous Ha'ara of the Nesivas. In Cheshen Mishpat, there's a din, Dinei Mekach Tais. Mekach Tais. So what's the halacha? This was actually nice a few years ago. What's the halacha if you buy meat and you discover that it's treif? So for Shteitzach, it's a Mekach Tais, you get your money back. What if you ate the meat? So it's brought down that even if you ate the meat, it doesn't have the chashivas of achila. So if chas v'shalom, you ate the yeast, you ate the meat. It's a mekach tais. Although the owner gets a deduction for mashenenis. In other words, the getter is like this. You ate the meat. Now, the meat is treif. But l'maisa, the meat filled up your stomach, so you didn't have to eat an apple or tuna fish or whatever it is. So hagav, that you don't have to pay for the steak, but you have to pay the value of the tuna fish that you would have eaten had you not had the steak. Okay. So there's a Nesivus that says the following fish. Nesivus says, what if you ate something that is only an Isser Drabbanan? So you did an Aveira Midrabbanan. Do you have a Taina of Mekach Tois to get your money back? So Zuck the Nesivus, you don't get your money back. Because unlike in Isser D'Oraisa, where even B'Shegeg is a Maisa Aveira that's Pagan the Nefesh, the Nesivah says, in Isser D'Rabbanan B'Shegeg doesn't even need Kapara. You don't have to do Tshuva for it. It's not Pagan the Nefesh. Why? It's up to Nesivah. Because even like the Rambam, that in Isser D'Rabbanan is an Isser D'Oraisa B'Lisasor, it is not the chetze itself that's usher. It's not that this becomes treif. Rather, it's usher to be myraid against the chachamim. And if you're a shayin, you're not a mayrin. You had no kavana. So in this yad rabbanu b'shayin doesn't need kavana. Now, this, it seems to be from a million places we can't paskin. So if you think about this, a guy is walking around, and I find out that the Erev is down. Now, b'derech klal, carrying in most places without an Erev is only an issur d'rabbanan because it's a carmelist. It's not a rishus d'rabban mamish. You don't have 600,000 people. Am I mechuyev, right? Why am I mechuyev to tell him that the Erev is down? He's being over an issur d'rabbanan b'shege. Motion detectors, right? People walk by and lights turn on. Do I have to tell a person, don't walk by, you're going to activate the light? Derek Klal would be, that's a grumma, but Derek Klal, whatever it is drabbanan, the whole thing about electricity is largely drabbanan. So, to say, it almost creates an incentive to be an amoris, because you're telling me that any drabbanan I don't know, so why teach me? Why teach me about drabbanan if there's no avera, come over it b'shege. Elamai, maybe if I consciously don't want to learn, maybe that's called amazing. I don't know. But this is the Nesivus system that Rabbanan's B'shege, you don't need Kapara. Now, the counter swara would be this. The counter swara would be that even a Shege is a Merida. See, here's the question. Why if I eat Trey, let's say I eat Chaylut B'Shege, I bring a Korban Chatas. Clearly, Shege is an Aveira. But there are two ways of learning why Shege is an Aveira. Shege might be an Aveira because the Etzem Pa'ula is plaguing the nefesh like poison. And you need some purification to get the poison out of your system. The Etzem Pa'ula. Or the other way of learning is that a Shege was also a careless person. In other words, there's a Merida even B'Shege, because if you would have looked into it, right? Now, the Nesivus Svara to be Mechalik between a Doraisa and Rabbanan makes sense like the first Mechalik. If I say I'm a Doraisa, I took in poison, so his point is, Rabbanan is not poison, Rabbanan is Merida. You weren't a Merida. But if I learn the second point, that by Doraisa Gufa, the Avera of Shagek is, if I would have been more Medayek, it wouldn't happen, then Mechalik by Rabbanan, that's also a Merida. That's a Merida. I didn't care enough. In fact, Rabbeinu Yaina wants to say, the famous Rabbeinu Yaina, that he wants to say that if you're over in the Drabanan, that could be a greater Avera than being over in the Raisa. What's his Sura? He brings the Vali, the Rai. I mentioned this before, the Raisa, so forgive me if you heard it, but he brings a Rai from Mashem Toli and Chattas. What is a Chattas? If I ate a piece of meat, and I discover after I ate the piece of meat that it was Chaylev, gotta bring a Korban Chattas. What is the minimum value of a chatas? It could be anything. A chatas could be one pruta. Now, let's say I eat a piece of meat. And then I discover not that it was chaylev, but I discover it might have been chaylev, but I don't know. So I bring an interim korban called Asham Taloi. And if I ever find out eventually that it was chaylev, I got to bring a chatas later. But the Asham Taloi is totally temporary kapara until you become aware. Now, state that because it's an asham has to be a minimum value of state soleil. You cannot bring an asham totally that's less than state soleil. So, Frekker Beni Aina, the Baldi Kakasha. If I know I did the chait, the korban can be a shomer pruta. If I don't know, it's got to be more expensive. The worst case is, it's a chayt. So Zakri Ben Yehuda Gavali, you think that a lot of the kapara that Hashem gives you comes from the depth of the charata that you have. The deeper the charata, the stronger the kapara. So when a person knows he did a chayt, the charata is very deep. So the Eberster says, the korban you need is small because the charata in your heart will cleanse you and purify you. But by Asher Tala, he says, the Pshat is, the guy keeps on telling himself, you know, it probably was okay. he really doesn't have that Sarata because he always has the tzad that there's no other. So the Eidim he says, if you did the chet, you need more of a kapara because you don't have Sarata. So Rabbi Yehuda takes that great raya and he says, that's exactly by drabanans and d'oraisas. When a man is either a d'oraisa, hopefully, at least, there's deep charata. When you're ever drabanan, you say, it's only a drabanan. But that makes the chet harder to forgive because you need the charata. To be the tzibay, as they say, the nesivus, if you think about it, we clearly don't pass him like this nesivus, because otherwise there would literally never be liafrushe miisura. I mean, everything. A guy touches wine. The wine is yayin nesach, draban, stam yena. You're about to drink it. According to nesivus, I don't have to tell you anything. I mean, it's a pillow. We clearly are not nayed that way in any way. It was not here.